You know, as we live as Christians and as we think, there's so many things in our world that is kind of like it was back in the days of the Old Testament, as we see how people felt about God and what they did as worship. Maybe they didn't make a golden calf or something to worship, but maybe it was just like in our society, it's just so many other things that take the place and become such. I kind of wanted to for us to think momentarily on a thing. God has declared His kingdom to us. We have the Word of God that we can study and should understand and learn to it. And of course, I always like to go to the Gospel of John. And I always like to go to the prayer that our Lord prayed just before He was crucified and preparing for that very thing that He did, and that was die on the cross. And it is there where He shed His blood that we have access to it now, and it is that which will bring about salvation. But just momentarily in this prayer that the Lord prayed, the verse that we always refer to is verse 17 in chapter 17. And He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. How it is that we need truth, and how it is that we need the Word of God, and how it is that we need to study it and be it applied to our lives. You know, He also says in the Gospel of John in chapter 8, and I like to use it so many times, and I have so many times as I've stood up here, and that's in chapter 8 in verse 32. He says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We see the importance then of God's Word as He prayed about truth, His Word being truth. And here we see that, as He says here, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free, free from sin. You know, as we see the writings then, now I want to kind of bring your mind to some writings that we see in this Word of God in truth. How often it is that the writer had some very special thing they wanted to apply to in the writing. And we can see that in the writings of the Apostle Paul, and also we see it in the other writings. I want us to turn to Colossians a minute. In Colossians chapter 3, and I want us to read here some things in this chapter. First of all, we look at verse 1. He says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Here's a very important verse that we need to think about and apply to ourselves. Christ is risen, and when we become Christians above, we know that He is sitting at the right hand of God. there for you and I. Now let's just read on in this chapter. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. There's a time when he will come back, and all that you and I see, this earth and everything that we see and people that we see, will be destroyed. You know, that happened one time. It was happened with water in the days of Noah. And so few were saved. When he comes back this next time, everything will be burned up. And so few may be saved, but they will meet him in the air, those alive, and he'll bring those who are Christians with him. But let's notice on. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Now he begins to name sin. Sin that will keep people from being Christians and see him when he comes and be with him when he comes and live with him through eternity. Now let's begin to look at what he says here. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on children of disobedience. Here we see what's going to happen with sin. If these sins are in your life, what will happen here? God cometh on the children of disobedience. They're children of disobedience. And then he goes on, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. Here he making reference to the fact that there was a time that you were a part of all of these sins, but you become a Christian and had free from them, and you should have remained free from them. And then I want to go on here. He says, in the which you also walked sometime, then you lived in them. But now you also put off all things: anger, wrath, malice, blaspheming, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Now, I read that verse 8 and 9. You know, just think a moment about it. It seems to me that in our world today, that this is so common. There was a time even when you had TV on and you'd watch the news and programs that were on TV, and you never heard filthy language coming from that. You know, I think our society has gone back and is now accepting that. Let's read that again. Verse 8. But now you also put off all these things: anger, malice, malicious blaspheming, filthy communication out of your mouth. And then he adds, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off all the old man with these deeds. that was a part of your life maybe before you become a Christian. But once you become a Christian, you put those things off. You don't do them. And our society has gone so bad with it. You know, I want you to back up. Paul's writings to Ephesians was very much like it was when to Colossians. Those two are very common congregations, and they were fairly close to each other. But look in chapter 4. Now we have in verse 28 in chapter 4, he says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." But now then look at verse 29. "Let not corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use of edifying, that it may and many ministers grace unto the hearers." And grace and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So again, we see the use of language, corrupt communication and bad language, and we're to put it away. It's not to be a part of us, and we are to be kind to people and tender-hearted, and we're to forgive them for maybe the way they treat us. Well, after all, didn't Christ forgive us for the bad things that we have done and are? You know, there are many things. I turn to the book of James a minute. In James, turn to, and I think we use this an awful lot. We've probably had a lot of sermons on James. But turn to James there, and let's look at it. Look here in chapter 1 a minute. Look in verse 7. He says, "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." And here he's talking about that is unstable in all his ways. But you know, in the book, he goes on and talks even about language. Notice over in chapter 4. And this, I think, here, as we ought to think about. Notice here, he says in verse 7, "Submit yourselves unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." So here again, he's talking about how that we, if we resist the devil, if we resist the sins, The devil will flee from us, but if we draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to us. And we know that certainly is the case. And, you know, there are many times that he talks about our language and the things that we say and the things we do. Well, who was James anyway? He was a brother to Jesus. He was a brother to Jesus, and he served the church there in very much along with them. Well, let's back up here in chapter 3 a little bit. Let's notice here what he says about our language and all. He said, notice in... Well, let's just start with the first chapter, verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and is able also to be bridled the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the mouth of horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn aside their whole body. So here he's talking about tongues and controlling it. Look at verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a master a little fire burnt kindleth. As the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body. It setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on the fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of bird and serpents and things in the sea is tamed, hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. So he even goes on and describes the fact that our tongue is so bad that it brings about all kinds of iniquities and members and hurts people. And we need to think about what God wants us to use our tongue for. You know, I can't help but go back to thinking about when Jesus was going after his death, and he was going back to heaven. And the very thing that he said when he was going back to heaven, I always like Matthew's account. Listen to what he says in verse 28, or chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Well, we know how he thinks about what we say when we're doing the wrong thing and saying the wrong things. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So what does he want? He wants us, as he said in his prayer as we started the lesson, my word, truth is my word. My word is truth. He wants people to hear it. He wants them to know it. And the trouble we see in our world today, people have turned away from it. They don't want to hear it. They refuse to hear it. They refuse to put it in their life and obey it. And they despise the truth because it points up their sins, and they don't want that to happen. And we have a responsibility to teach the word. Mark said in his writings in chapter 16, notice there he says, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs and wonders. You know, this word needs to be taught. It needs to be preached. We have so much that we need to think about. And each one of the writers, as they refer to Jesus when he left, had some special thing to say. You know, in Luke chapter 24, after he was resurrected from the grave, one of the things that we see, in the 24th chapter, and look at verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved man to suffer and to rise from the dead, raise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name concerning all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye were witnesses of these things. He wanted this word preached all the way from his day when he resurrected from the grave. And they went forth and preached it to the Colossians, the Ephesians, and other places. And he wanted them to know his word. His word, because it brings about salvation to obedience to it. What about you today? Are you a Christian? Have you obeyed it? Do you believe we have God and Christ, and they have done what they've done so that they can bring about salvation? There is a day coming when everything we see will be burned up. We need to be prepared to live with God throughout eternity. Throughout eternity. Oh, there are a lot of verses I could read that I love to read. I like to go to, Galatians. One of the things that happened in Galatians was they had people begin to come in and teach something else that was wrong. We go to Thessalonians and we read, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. The Lord Jesus shall be carried from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the world to the and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in them that believe, because our testimony among you is believed in that day. What a day it will be. But the main thing is that we need to obey his word. And we're living in a society that evil words and evil speaking is so common. And we need to correct that in our lives when we obey him. What about you this morning? Can we help you obey the Lord today? If you can, come forward.